Hebrews chapter 12. I listened to a guy the other night talk about some of this, and it laid a lot on me. The Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Now, I wrote three little things down. For one, we need to look around. Now, I don't believe there's all these witnesses sitting in heaven watching us. I don't believe that. Because if that's true, my grandmother can't go up there and rest. Because she's still watching me, and she still sees when I heard, or when Sandy's grandma sees her heard. Or I don't believe that. But what I do believe is we look at these witnesses. When you read chapter 11, and I urge you, read chapter 11. It's the hall of faith. You've heard of the hall of fame? It's like the hall of faith. It's all these people that went all these years, and some of them come out victoriously. Oh, man, we can read about Abraham, how he did, and Moses, how he did, and King David, how he come through. He slayed the giant. And all, but some of them doesn't look so good. They got eaten. They got killed. But nonetheless, God took care of them. You see, this isn't meaning that we have a bunch of spectators seeing how you're doing. That's not what it's talking about. This is, in other words, we're to look at all those who have run. And God saw them through. God saw each one of them through. And then when we get to the newer, I won't say newer, we get to the earlier or later times in life, we can look back and heard people talk about Moody. We've heard people talk about Charles Spurgeon. We've heard people talk about, these foreign missionaries. What's that guy's name that went to Burma? I can't remember his name. But we look at him. You've heard of Livingston. He went. All of these people, all of these missionaries that have served God for all these years. And they're all gone now. Listen, they're taken care of. God saw them through all these things that had to be done. And He's going to see us through. They're our example. And if we read Romans 15:4, don't ever exclude the Old Testament out of your life. Read the Old Testament. It's there for our example to see how God helped them along. Abraham. I'll use him because me and somebody were discussing him today. Not Abraham. Moses. Moses was in Egypt. 40 years. Basically, he was at school. He got out of Egypt and decided to leave. He saw two men, and which was his Hebrew brethren, and he saw an Egyptian beating on them. Well, after all of it was said and done, he looks around, makes sure ain't nobody looking, and he went down there and killed that guy. That ain't the way God wanted him to do it, though. That's called premeditated. And he had to run for his life. Well, he went and spent 40 years in the desert in a lot of training. And then God brought him back and brought the people out. You can look at how God took care of Moses. But you can also look at how Moses messed up. He got punished for it. So we need to think about that as well. When he went to the, he would, listen, Moses led the people up to go into the promised land. Moses didn't get to go. Why? Because he disobeyed God. And so we need to look at how God took care of him, but we need to look at how we're supposed to follow what God wants us to do. He's just one of many examples. Then we need to look at ourselves. Where have you been in the past year? What have you done in the past year? How can you better yourself in the past year? Basically, Paul says, run the race. When Paul talks about the race, he's talking about the athletes. I don't know, some of you have probably heard how much trouble Peyton Manning's in. They're saying he's done some kind of enhancement. Anyway. We need to set aside things that get in our way. You see, when athletes train, they train with a bunch of gear on. They train with weight on. And there's all kind of different weights. Baseball players, you'll see them out there, they're swinging these bats when they got lead at the end of it. They don't use them for hitting the ball. They use them for training. It's for building muscle. And when they get ready to do their thing, when they get ready to compete, they throw that away. And then they grab a hold of a bat, man, it feels like it ain't nothing. Because they've been used to swinging around this bat that's got all this weight in it. These runners, they run with weights on their legs. You ever seen them ankle weights? They run with them things on their legs, but when they get ready to actually compete, they get rid of them weights. And see, the Bible tells us that, listen, we're to lay aside these things. He said, lay aside every weight. What is our weight? What would our weight be? It's hard to say. Listen, there's several things you can look at. What are weights that hinder us? I didn't go into detail what they are because the Bible didn't. But there's some good things in our life and there's some bad things in our life. I ain't talking about sin. I'm talking about some good things in our life and some bad things. Things that we really don't need. Stuff that we tend to make important. It's really not an issue of the sin as much as it's important to us. Why? Soccer game. And we'll use soccer. Football. That's a good one. If we let football get... Is football a sin? No. But if we let it get in between us and God, it's something that hinders us. And we need to set that aside. Because we're supposed to be running the race. In other words, we need to choose between better and best. We need to choose between, well, this has bettered me, but this would be best for me. Sometimes... study books. Sometimes little bitty hobbies we got. It's good for us, but it'd be best if we didn't have that one maybe. Get rid of that one. Replace it with something that we really need. It's things like that. You gotta figure out what weights you down that you're not running the race for God the way you ought to be. It, like I said, it may not necessarily be a sin. Because he brought that up first. The runners take their weights off so they can run the race without anything dragging them down. Well, we've got to remove things away from us, out of our life, that, hey, it was a good thing for us, but what's better for us? What's the best for us? But then he goes into... Let us lay... And the sin which doth... so easily beset us. Now, I'm not going to go into sin. He didn't discuss all the sins. I'm going to tell you what the sin was of the Hebrews. They had the sin of unbelief. In other words, Moses led them right up to the River Jordan. They got to Kadesh Barnea. They were going to cross. They sent their spies in to check everything out, which was... they shouldn't have been fooling with. They should have just done it. They sent them in, and what? 2 out of 12 came back with a good report. The other 10 come back with a rotten report. Oh, we can't do that. Why? Why can't you? Caleb and Joshua, why not? God brought us here. He's going to take us the rest of the way. But what they do, oh, we can't. Well, we can't organize in 2016. Why not? Leave it up to God. Why can't we? Well, I can't knock on this many doors. Why not? I have a hard time telling people about Jesus. Why? All these other people in Hebrews 11 talked about Jesus. We can do it. Got to set some things aside, see? We got to get rid of these sins that get in our way. And like I said, the main one for the Hebrews was the sin of unbelief. The same problem we got. Well, I'm going to pray about this, but I don't know if God can do this. You know, I ain't real sure God can pull this one off. Why not? He pulled everything else off. He brought you this far, didn't He? He's brought wagon wheels as many years as to this point. We got to get unbelief out of our whole thought pattern. God can do this, and He's done this for you. Look back in the 2015 and look and see what God's done for you. You'll be surprised at the thing God's done for you when you really get to thinking about all of when God intervened here, He intervened there. There's things that went on in my life in 2015, it's like, I didn't even think about the fact that God took care of it. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, yes, He did take care of it. We need to look back. Well, guess what? If He can do that, He can take you right on through 2016. News. Boy, I listen to the news and I talk to people. Everybody all over the place are worried about the new president we're going to have. You know what? A scarecrow would be better than what we got now. But the whole deal is God's going to be in control of it anyway. Now, we're to be sensible and vote the way that we ought to vote. But God's going to take care of it. He's not going to just say, well, I'm going to leave them to that. We'll see what happens at the end. No. He's got a plan. You see, I told a pastor the other day, a preacher the other day, I said, we're on a need-to-know basis. Sometimes we ain't needing to know. When God's ready for you to know, He'll let you know. I don't like being on a need-to-know basis sometimes. It irritates me. But you know what? That's where God said, trust me. You just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Guess what? We're just supposed to keep telling people about Jesus, keep asking people to come to church, keep trying to get them in here where they can hear the gospel, because you never know when one may accept the Lord as Savior. That's what we're to do. We're not to entangle ourselves with all of this mess. But we do need to get rid of sins that slow us down. Get rid of some of these weights. That they're not bad things. But we could better ourselves if we get rid of that. This one right here. I'd say most everybody in here's got a smartphone. If you get tied up on a stupid smartphone, get smarter than the phone. Turn it off. Don't get so wrapped up in games that you can't be. Is it a sin to play games? No. I've been seeing one I've been thinking about getting for my iPad. But it don't mean I'm going to ever play it. I got an airplane game on there and I flew one airplane, got shot down. And I ain't flew it since. So it's like, I didn't like losing. Don't get so wrapped up in other. Be careful what gets in your way. Because the time that I'm sitting on the couch that I'm playing that, I could have been praying for somebody. Now, I ain't saying it's wrong to have a little enjoyment, a little bit of leisure time. You can do that.
Amen.
But if you ain't careful, you can get so wrapped up that it becomes a weight that weighs us down. All right, I got to quit, so we're going to go to the last thing. This is the most important of all. Look to Jesus. I don't know if I can do it. Look to Jesus. I ain't sure I can make it. Look to Jesus. We got chapter 11 that tells us, how did they do it? They sought Jesus. That's it. Listen, it says Abraham was said, God come to Abraham and said, pack up, go. Abraham's like, well, all right. He didn't know where he's going. He's headed out because God said go. And as he went, he kept God first thing. And then all of a sudden he messed up. He gets over to the promised land, the land of Canaan over there, and there's a great famine in the land. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Why didn't he ask God? God had brought him that far. Then he takes off, runs down to Egypt, had to get into some lies. Well, he strips the truth. He told the truth, but then again he lied in the process. It's a lie. In that process, Pharaoh got really angry with him, run him out of town. He drug his nephew off into the worldly stuff. Picked up an old gal named Hagar, brought her back, ended up having a child with her, who's got all the, which we're still suffering from that. All because when he got there, you'll read in Genesis, go back around 12 and start reading, you'll find out that he built an altar and he prayed and talked to God, but he left it. And he went off down to Egypt, and then when he left Egypt, he come back and talked to God again. He's like, hello, there's a space in there. Listen, messed him up. We need to continue to look to God. You see, it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Guess what? We have to just keep looking to Jesus. That's what we've got to do. Whenever we get all worried about everything's going to fall apart, look to Jesus. Whenever you get up in the morning and your whole family seems like they fell apart, look to Jesus. When we come to church and we wonder, what are we going to do? We look to Jesus. That's what we got to do. We got to continue to look to Jesus because guess what? He did it. Now I got one scripture. In other words, we need the passion that Elijah had. Elijah was a man of great passion. Elijah thought for a long time that he was the only one. He was the sole Christian in the world. Only one that believed in God, but yet he still stood for God.
Amen.
Paul, the Apostle Paul, man, he was beat, shipwrecked 3 times, stoned outside of a town, and he got up and run as far as he could away from it as fast as he could. No, he went right back into town. How did he do that? 1 Corinthians, write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Who lives, if you're saved, you know the Lord Jesus, Who lives inside of you? The Holy Spirit. You know how Christ come out of the grave? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how we can live our lives? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The exact same way that we can run the race, just like Elijah did, just like Paul did, just like Peter did. You can go on and on the same way Moses did. It's all by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do what the Lord has sent us to do. We can run that race. We can take off. We shed these weights. We set aside the sins in our lives. And we run the race, not by what you can do, but you do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you try to do it by what you're going to do, you're going to fall on your face. I promise you, every time. But if we'll set aside the weights that so easily beset us, and set aside these sins that drag us away from what God wants us to do, then guess what? We can run the race. We can see this building so stuffed that we've got to tear out that back wall and add more pews. By the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're willing to get out there and do what the Lord wants us to do. Can we see that in 2016? You bet we can. Can we organize into a church? Yeah, we can. We can do it all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? Jesus went to the cross, was faithful all the way to the point of Calvary? No, all the way. Even when they nailed him on the cross, even when he was hanging there and they were saying, get yourself down, you saved everybody else, why can't you save yourself? He stayed there by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can listen, we've got that access. We've got the access to that power. All we got to do is depend on it. The main thing you got to do. You see, the Hebrews got to Kadesh Barnea, or we can't do this. Why? You crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. You went through all of these things that they went through. And you can't cross little old Jordan and take the Holy Land? For 40 years they walked around and had about 1,000 funerals a day somewhere in that area just to remind them that you need to listen to God. We need to have belief in God that, hey, guess what? We can do what He wants us to do. Because 40 years later, they showed back up and Joshua said, you ready to go? We're ready! Let's go! They were ready.
That's right.
Because they'd seen the power of God. You ever seen the power of God in your life?
Amen.
The day you got saved was the power of God. But there's things that happened in your life that you've seen the power of God. Don't be unbelief. Have that belief that, listen, it may not be tomorrow what you're asking for.
Yep.
It may not be tomorrow what we want to see done. But you know what?
Yep.
God will see us through. Let's stand. Philip, if you'll come up. Play us an invitation song.